Hello, witches. This is Kara Kovacs, and this is Business Witch. As a third-generation witch, at least, and a business and life coach for mission-driven entrepreneurs and leaders, I teach you how to make money and magic as liberatory practices. Because when we know, seek, and embrace our full potential, we create a better world for everyone. Here you'll find tools, conversations, spells, and inspiration that take you from waiting to creating so you can build the business and life you're oh so worthy and capable of having. Let's go. Hello, Bewitchers. Before we get into today's content, I just wanted to thank you for listening and let you know that if you want to support a small business owner, the best way to do that is to share about their work. In this case, I deeply appreciate your 5-star reviews on your preferred streaming platforms, resharing episodes like this one to your social media stories. I promise to reshare. Or if you feel so called to stay connected, I give free love notes with lots of business tips, advice, prompts, free classes, access to insider information on my email list every single week. You can head to www.karakovacs.com to subscribe. You'll get a curated list of our favorite episodes of this show, as well as access to lots of classes, a library of past free workshops, and tons of information to support you in your own small business journeys. So thanks so much in advance for hanging out with us on all the places, Instagram, email, and here at the podcast. Let's get into the show. Hello, Bewitchers, and welcome back to another episode of our solo episode masterclass series where we are covering a variety of topics that y'all ask me about a lot. So I wanted to make some episodes that were kind of like a masterclass where you could walk away with some reflective prompts, action steps, just really things that would help you with your business. And today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite services of all time, and that is one-on-one coaching. So this episode is about how to create, sell, and scale a profitable one-on-one offer. Our last episode was about how to make a profit without social media. We did one on systems auditing for your business. And next week will be our final episode in this series, and it's probably going to be my fave. No spoilers beyond that, but we're going to talk about intersectional feminist money mindset stuff. So for my people, I know you will eat that up. Please be subscribed. Please meet me here next week. Can't wait to hang out with you. And in the interim, the reason I wanted to talk about one-on-one coaching offers is because I think that the way in which they're marketed and sold has changed a lot in the past couple of years. And it's also something that I see my people, that's you guys, struggle with the most, because there's a way in which y'all try to get the copy so perfect, or you get so in your head about how to construct it in a way that, like, you see other people constructing it, that you're just getting in your own way from making a one-on-one offer profitable. And as somebody who's been a one-on-one coach, but also a client, there's something so incredible about that as a service. You really get to know somebody in a way that I think is so profound and so deep and so special. And I really like to think about it from the perspective of what an honor it is that somebody who cares so much about what it is that they're doing and wants to create something meaningful and beautiful from what it is that they're doing has entrusted me to be the person that supports them and guides them in some way towards creating that thing. And I just want to say too, there's something that gets said a lot in the coaching industry that I used to say before I started divesting from some of the communities that I used to be a part of, that coaches need coaches. And there's an implication in that, that you should have a one-on-one coach like 100% of the time that you're in business, which now on the other side of studying in different schools of coaching theory and also taking breaks from my own coaching, I can wholly say that that is not true. I think that there can be a codependence created when you are hyper-reliant on outsourcing 100% of your opinions, thoughts, beliefs, and actions to a coach that you presume somehow knows better than you do about what you should do in your own life. So there have been times in my business where I've taken really strategic breaks from one-on-one support. But what I will say is, if you have never experienced coaching and you are selling coaching, there's something inherently hypocritical in that to me. you don't know what it's like to be a client. You don't know what it's like to receive that space held for you. And yet you are facilitating it without that prior experience for other people. So I do encourage people who have never had a one-on-one coach to have that experience for themselves. It's going to help you become a better coach. It's going to help you learn some things that you do want to implement in your business, some things that you don't, what it looks like to have space held for you in a way that resonates for you or maybe doesn't resonate for you. It's just going to provide you with such valuable insights, and to be wary of outsourcing your self-agency to a coach that you presume knows better for you and your business and your life what you need than you do, because that's just fundamentally not true. The way that I like to think about it in my own practice is I have a skill set. I like to think about myself as part coach, part consultant. I have a skill set. There's things that I know about and have studied and can support people in that my clients, generally speaking, don't have the same skills. In my business, it's really clear, but I'll try to provide some other examples of what this can look like in other businesses. But for example, my people are usually amazing service providers. Y'all are hypnotherapists and NPs and pain coaches and DEI consultants and writing consultants and creativity coaches. Like, y'all know your craft and the things that you do for your people so beautifully, and you've invested heavily in becoming a master of those skills. What you have not invested heavily in most of the time is getting business education, or getting business education in a way that you found personally resonant for you, as opposed to really icky, like so much so gave you the ick that you have avoided implementing strategic business practices into what it is that you're doing because you are worried that that will somehow make you a bad person. And as such, your business doesn't run as effectively as it could. It's not selling at the rate that it could be selling. And it's not reaching people in the way that you probably want it to be reaching people, because you are thinking about it like your sacred service, but not like a business. So it is missing the structure to actually really carry that vision to its maximum level of impact. And so the magic and the skill set that I provide is a really critical but supportive lens through which to help you build the infrastructure or the system. So I am really great at supporting people with money mindset, system building, marketing, writing copy, thinking about how to translate their soul-given gifts into something that makes sense for somebody who may have never known or heard about them or what it is that they do or the modalities that they practice before. So people are coming to me to help with that implementation and that scaling and that clarifying and that expansion. But it's not really any of my business to be like, well, you know, you should really be doing XYZ services, and like, I know better than you what those services are. But ultimately, they're the service provider, right? Like, they know about the skills that they use with their clients better than I do. They know what their ultimate goals and dreams are for their business more than I do. I help them create those things. I don't tell them what they should want or what they should do. And I think that that's a really important distinction in our role as service providers, is to guide people towards their own truth and then use the skills that we have to support them in creating whatever that thing is. So a couple other examples of how this might look: if you are, say, for example, a relationship coach, you may be so well studied in the Gottman Institute's critical relationship theories. You may have looked into all that Esther Perel, and like, you may have really a depth of knowledge around trauma-informed care and attachment stuff, and you are so well qualified to help people process conflict, come up with ways for coping with relational anxiety or overcome avoidant attachment, come up with relationship agreements that help them build a healthier relationship. But like, ultimately, you can't tell people whether they should stay together or they should not stay together. Let's do one more. Let's say, for example, that you are a health coach and you help people heal their relationship with food. You help them really anchor into going to parties and not feeling anxious about if they're going to indulge, stopping criticizing themselves when they look in the mirror or take a rest day or a rest week, reconfigure their minds around what is healthy and what is not, and really heal some of the toxic patterns that they've held around beliefs about themselves, their body image, and food for many, many years. But ultimately, you're not going grocery shopping for them and making sure that when they eat, it's the things that you talked about. Like, they're the ones that are implementing this change in their life. However, ultimately, you're not standing over them, watching every single thing that they eat and repeating to them that they shouldn't feel guilty about it or that it's okay or whatever. Like, you are not their inner dialogue. You are not the person with them at the grocery store. They're the ones responsible for implementing the changes from your work together, right? And because of this, we want to really honor for people the distinction between providing our personal feedback and our guidance and being responsible for their results. And I think that for my clients in particular, and maybe you'll resonate with this, is that people get really hung up wanting people to have the most expansive results possible that they can have, which I understand that desire because you're a service provider who cares about your client experiences. But ultimately, people are self-directed. They have sovereignty. They're the ones that are responsible for creating their results. In all the examples that I just gave, if I was the business coach for that person and they implemented everything that we talked about and they created an increase in revenue, it would be really messed up of me to presume that I was responsible for that because they built what changed in their life based in my guidance and with the help of my support. But ultimately, it was them that created the change. And so we want to respect people's sovereignty and really make that distinction of not being over responsible for our clients' results. My hope is that that distinction in and of itself makes it feel a little bit more clear to you why your services are really valuable, but also why you're not responsible for making sure that your clients receive results. And I know that that can be really complicated. Come get some one-on-one mindset coaching for me around releasing being overly responsible for your clients. But then what you're thinking about when you're making an offer that you're going to sell is really like, what is my area of expertise and how is it well suited for supporting the people that I want to help in a way that will make a meaningful impact on their life for the people who are ready to make changes by using what it is that I teach, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about what that looks like, and I'm going to go into questions that I feel like I don't actually get asked these that much anymore personally because I'm so clear on what my mission is and how it is that I work and who I serve. And I just want to offer you that the more you clarify and stand empowered in why you want to do this work in the first place, the less you will get asked questions like, but what is the difference between coaching and therapy anyway? Or like, how do you justify your rates and things like that? But I know that my clients get asked those things a lot. And so I did want to provide you with my answer, not even so that you can take it, though feel free to take it if you like what it is that I say, but more to really open for you how you might construct your own version of an answer to those questions. Now, I've heard people say many, many times when asked the question, like, what's the difference between coaching and therapy? What I hear is coaching helps you create your future and therapy helps you process your past. I don't fully agree with that. I'm in therapy right now and we're talking about what life it is that I want to live. And while coaching, the tools taught in coaching are more action oriented and they can help you strategically be like, okay, I'm going to do this thing and then I'm going to build this thing. And then this is the expected result of doing those actions. And that is very specific oftentimes to coaching. I think that just like in therapy, I'm talking about what it is that I want for my life and what it is that I want to create for myself and whether the current circumstances of my life are supportive to that endeavor. With coaching, we are often talking about your past. It's very hard to heal money trauma if you don't talk about your childhood and your relationship with money throughout your life. It's very hard to heal relational trauma if we don't talk about the origin of your first heartbreak. So I think it's a misnomer to say that like, coaching is about the future and therapy is about the past. And it's an oversimplification of what is true. The way that I would say that coaching and therapy differ is that coaching focuses on a very particular goal and creating that goal in your life through strategic action, and that it's a behavioral science that can help with leadership, that can help with personal empowerment, that can help with healing, that can help with fill in the blank, whatever your preferred way of supporting people. And because it is a behavioral science, it shares a lot of the tools that are taught oftentimes in therapy, but has a very different and action-oriented ethos at the root of it. And then the last thing that I'll say is that whenever people ask me what is the difference between coaching and therapy, I'll say, you know, I get asked that question a lot, and I spend an hour in all of my sessions talking to my clients, which is the same format of how I would show up in therapy. I think what you're actually asking me is, what exactly is it that I do? And I think that would be a more interesting question to answer if you're open to hearing it. So feel free to steal that if you like that. And then in terms of rate justification too, there's such a difference in what it is that we do as coaches and what it is that we do in a therapeutic relationship. I very minimally, if ever, reach out to my therapist between sessions, whereas in my own client relationships, I said I'm part consultant. I'm like editing all of your sales pages, editing all of your emails, auditing all of your systems, like making sure everything in your business is running smoothly, looking at the connection between your marketing copy and how much your sales are converting or are not converting, replying to voice notes sometimes that are a couple of minutes long. Like, there's so much in between session support that goes into coaching. Not that all clients use it, but I really want to encourage people to not think about coaching as a rate of pay by the hour, because there's so much work that gets done in between sessions that has nothing to do with the session itself, oftentimes that you don't profit from. So I just talked about the ways in which I support people between sessions, but I also invite you to consider that, like, you're not getting paid for creating social media content. I'm not getting paid for recording this podcast right now. If anything, it's costing me money in paying someone to edit it for me and put it up for me. You don't get paid when you write your newsletter for the free classes, the lead generators that you are creating to get people to purchase your offers, the time that you spend coming up with marketing materials. None of that stuff is something that you receive compensation for. It supports you in creating compensation for yourself. But I just think it's really important to remember that if you've ever gone into a one-on-one relationship or container and you're sitting there breaking down the math of how much the session costs with the practitioner per hour, you're doing both you and the practitioner a disservice, because the likelihood that you're going to be communicating with them between sessions, no matter what kind of coach they are, is pretty high. Maybe not all the time, maybe not as much as some other people, but like, you are going to be doing that. And they're also being compensated for the many, many hours of administrative stuff that they spend doing that they're not doing in front of you. So even if you do not use the in-between session support, if you're consuming their content, reading their newsletters, listening to their podcast episodes, you are getting a ton of additional educational material that you don't have to pay for by paying them directly for that, but that your service purchase with them helps to be able to create, right? So I just think it's not effective to put a time for your hourly rate on as a coach, because then you are actually nickeling and diming things that you really can't strategically measure as well. Sometimes in a session with a client, we are going super deep and we are healing something that has been keeping them back from standing strong in their mission and making money for years. And you can't put a value or a price tag on how much that's worth. The next session, we might be like literally going over their launch strategy and making sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted on what it is that they're putting out. There's no hourly rate, there's no comparison, and there's no like direct ROI from those kinds of things. So when you're creating your pricing, the way that I teach about pricing in Business Witch, my signature program, is based very clearly in like, this is what I need to operate my business and live my life, and my rates are as such so that I can afford to do that. Period, full stop. And we'll talk more about that in next week's Money Mindset episode too, because I think that that hits more deeply for a lot of my people, at least, and the emotions that they attach to what it means to be a person who charges a high rate, or what they presume people can afford about charging a high rate. So we'll get to that next week. But what I want you to take from this is that you are not measuring what it is that you deserve or should earn in a by the hour rate. You're selling somebody a service, and there's a price tag associated with that service that encompasses a lot more than just the hour you spend on Zoom every week or every other week. Now, the best advice that I have for you when it comes to marketing your one-on-one coaching offer is to think about yourself as the client first. You have tons of experience, if you listen to this podcast at least, being on the client side of the equation as a potential customer. You have been marketed to, if not by me, by 500 other Instagram coaches. So I really want you to think about what makes you want to pay attention to an offer, what makes you believe in somebody's capacity to be able to help you, what makes you attracted to actually reading the entire caption beneath the post or reading the entire email and not just putting it in the trash after the first couple of paragraphs, or actually invest in looking at the sales page and feeling connected to the promises that are offered on that page. One of the biggest trends that I've seen in the coaching industry in the last couple of years is that buyers are a lot more discriminating, as well they should be. People largely have less disposable income because of changes in the economy. And many of my people, and also probably many of your people, have invested in coaching communities, programs, and experiences where their perception was that they did not get the ROI that they wanted out of those experiences, whether that was directly in the form of actually making money, or if it was because of, you know, other circumstances, like there was a hyperinflated results. Like people were promising, you know, heal yourself of 7 generations of ancestral trauma, but actually what they experienced was something that was re-traumatizing. Or people were promised, like, you'll no longer have anxious attachment and you'll create the relationship of their dreams and they are still single. And again, you're not responsible for your client's results, but if somebody has invested in programs in the past and not gotten the results that they wanted, they're going to think a lot more critically about the next time that they purchase something. And so a lot of the marketing and the means through which we sold services just a couple of years ago, which were really seemingly successful and tried and true methods, people are exhausted by. And they equally are just like, well, how do I know that this is going to be different from that thing I bought last year that I didn't really use and that didn't really get me results? And so your best evidence for how to make sure that your offers don't look like that is to pay very close attention to what makes you feel connected to somebody's offer and connected to somebody's promise that they can help you. And then to apply that to your own creation of what it is that you would like to sell. Now, what I want to really advise you to do, which I think is hard to be with when you're in the process of it, but really valuable and something that you can't actually fast forward, is you understanding and clarifying and deepening and expanding and iterating on how it is that you want to do that is a process that you can only go through by coaching people and then modifying what it is that you're selling. So you're likely not going to come up with the perfect offer the first time that you put it out there. And for those of you who are waiting for something to be perfect in order to try to sell it, you will never sell anything. I love you. Come get mindset coaching from me. But really, the truth is, in my own offer suite, I change things every single year. Some are in response to client feedback. Some are in response to industry trends and changes. And others are response to learning how I like to work and learning what is going to work well for my people. In my business, my very, very first one-on-one offer, I sold $400 packages for 4 sessions to 2 people. I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. Thank you to those 2 people for allowing me to practice my skills with a discounted rate for services. But after running 2 people through that program, I increased my pricing to $1,250 for 4 sessions. And I ran probably a dozen or so people through that offer and like resold it a few times before I really was clear, like 4 sessions is nothing. I do 4 sessions with somebody. And in session 3, we really get to the heart of what it is that they want. And in session 4, they're saying goodbye. So like, I need longer packages in order to be able to really do the kind of work that I want to do with people. That's when my first 3-month offer was created, after running about 10 people through 3-month offers and having, you know, 90% of them or something like that renew for another 3 months and then another 3 months and then another 3 months. I knew 3 months is nothing for me personally. Some of you have great offers that are like, you're a hypnotherapist, you can get somebody to stop smoking in 3 sessions. That's great. But for me personally, to do the kind of implementation and deep work and healing, and also to build relationship and get to know somebody and watch them actually make a change, I need to work with somebody for a longer amount of time. So I no longer do 3-month packages unless it's a very specific project. Like, you want me to help you launch your one-to-many offer, or we've worked together in the past and you're making a business offer change and you want some strategic support. Otherwise, for people who are totally new to business coaching and they're sharing or selling something that we're going to spend a lot of time iterating on together. 3 months is nothing. I'm still getting to know most people after 3 months working with them in coaching relationship. So I'm learning these things, right? Another thing that I think is really valuable to share with you about this is I was doing that for years. And then in the last like year and a half or so, what I started to notice because of two things, one was industry changes and two was experiences that my clients were having with working with me. So I had just mentioned this trend that we're seeing of people being a little bit more discriminating with where they spend their money, particularly on coaching services or programs when they feel like that has been a waste of their money in the past and they're just not sure that they're going to get the benefit from it. And they're like, I don't have as much disposable income as I had a couple of years ago. Like, if I'm going to buy this, I really need to know that it's going to work for me. So what I started to see was that my clients who were more general life coaches or who didn't really have a very strong or specific offer, they could sell something in the heyday when people were a lot more excited about spending their disposable income on these kinds of services. Don't get me wrong. Don't turn this into belief that there are not a lot of clients out there. There are more clients out there that could fill the roster of every single person who ever listens to this and then some for the rest of their careers. But they need a different kind of languaging to convert into purchasers. We were also seeing this in statistics, right? Like the ad prices for if you were to run ads to your business in 2020, 2021, the cost for an ad to convert to somebody coming onto your email list or to become a purchaser was much, much, much smaller than it was in 2022 and 2023. So we're seeing this change in how people are buying. And then what I saw play out with that in my clients' own business experiences is that I hadn't provided them with a ton of copy support in my one-on-one offerings. I was like leaving it to them. We were mostly coaching on mindset, money mindset, maybe some strategy, like this is what you should do to get more people into your workshop, that kind of thing. But I did not comb through their copy. And when I decided, based on seeing my clients start to have experiences where they felt like their businesses weren't making as much money as they had in previous years, and there was like a lot of fear coming up from that, I was like, I actually want to look at your systems and how you're setting up. Like, what does your nurture sequence say when somebody signs up to work with you? Are you actually nurturing them as an audience member to become somebody who wants to purchase something? And I'm starting to look at the copy, and it was like a lot of general information. There was call to actions missing. So people are receiving these emails that maybe make you seem like a great and compassionate service provider, but they don't talk about how to work with you. They don't talk about who working with you is for. They're not set up in a particular way to get people to want to actually buy the services. Again, this is an ad for the systems audit special that I'm running right now, where I will go through your systems like I did in this time in my own one-on-one rosters case, where I was like, people have not set up their businesses to strategically sell things. They've had a couple random sales here and there because they are good at what they do and they are putting themselves out there, but they did not build a system to actually be able to support their business to scale. And if I'm only focusing on mindset and like they don't have this system implemented and they're not getting results, it is my responsibility as a service provider to see the gap in what is missing from what it is that they've built and to help them identify and fix it. And that's when I started getting a lot more involved and really transitioning my body of work from, yes, I coach on mindset. Yes, we meet twice a week. We go deep. There's lots of crying in my sessions and there's lots of laughing too, but it's emotional and it's deep work. But then there's also the, I'm going to make sure that all of your copywriting clearly makes your customer, when they read it, think, that's for me. I need to purchase that. And that is missing from how a lot of you are communicating about your offers, not because you're quote unquote bad at that, but because you don't have copywriting experience. You don't have business experience like that. And you focused a lot maybe on healing intergenerational trauma, but you've never taken a strategic copywriting class, or you've never really looked at how to build business systems and marketing. You've just focused on learning things that you either found more interesting or thought were more legit because they were skill-based. And then you avoided the business implementation side. You're wondering why your business is not making money. And these are easy things that you can learn and that you can implement, but you actually have to sit down and do them. And they're making a huge difference in your profit margins. So with all of this being said, you want to sell one-on-one coaching. Where do you start? Well, I told you, you're your own first client. What makes you want to buy something? So start there, Whose offers do you resonate with? Why do you resonate with them? When you read about the offer, what made you think when you read it, I really feel like that could help me. I really feel like I trust this person. Are you having that same kind of energy in the creation of your own offers? Are you being really specific about who they're for? I don't mean a niche. I mean, who would benefit from buying your offer? Think about it like selling concert tickets. I hope not to offend any Swifties who are listening to this, but like, I'm not a Taylor Swift fan. I would never buy a Taylor Swift concert ticket. But for some people, they're going to see that she's coming to town and they are like, shit, I need to buy that, right? Alternatively, if Beyonce was coming, I would love to get a Beyonce ticket. And so though I wouldn't presume that you or I have the allure of, let's say, Beyonce, I think some of you probably have more allure to me personally than Taylor Swift does. I'm not knocking Taylor Swift, you all. I'm not. I'm just like, she's not for me. But the metaphor that I'm using is when you look at something and you know that you need to buy it, that is what you are trying to create for your ideal client. And so some of us just know that we need to buy a certain kind of concert ticket because we're a big fan. And some of us know that like that's not the concert that we want to go to, even though it could be great for other people. And so when you're thinking about your ideal client, you may not necessarily be like, okay, who is my niche? But like, who is the person that would most benefit from buying this? There are all different kinds of folks at the Beyonce concert. Like, there's a wide array of people that she could be serving or selling her concert tickets to. It could be a vast range, but you should be able to identify the things that they are struggling with, why they need your services, what kind of language they resonate with, what makes them experience trust in a practitioner. If you are holding ideas like my people can't afford to work with me, you are probably marketing and talking to people who cannot afford to work with you. So no wonder you keep getting on enrollment calls and being met with, well, I can't afford to work with you is the only objection, right? So you want to think very specifically, are the beliefs and the thoughts that I have about the people who I'm selling my offer to in alignment for me to actually be able to offer them? Are they specific about what kind of results people will get? We don't exist in an industry landscape anymore where you can say to someone, pay me $5,000 for 6 months and I'll help you create your dream life. I'm sure there are still some people out there who might purchase that, but the likelihood is probably not, and they're going to be few and far between to come by and or find. So the more specific you can get about who needs this and why they need this and how you provide it, and then translating that into the copy that you write about it in a way that really highlights the things that you've personally resonated with when you've read other people's offer pages, that is a great place to get started on the construction of your initial one-on-one offer. Now, you also have to be compassionate with yourself, right? You're going to learn things after you run a couple people through that offer where you're like, oh, like, I need to have longer packages, or I thought I wanted to do 90-minute sessions, but I'd actually rather do 75-minute sessions, or, oh, I thought I wanted to work with couples, but I very specifically only want to work with partnered women and not couples in general. I'm changing my offer. You are not married to the offer. I can't tell you how many times I've sold things that either ended up not selling or I didn't love doing them and I changed it up. But in either case, whether you end up using it as a signature offer or long-term or not, you're going to want to highlight specifically who it's for and then adjust with experience over time. All of the marketing that you do for an offer that is constructed in that way is really going to be thinking about strategically, like, where are those people that I made this for? Where are they hanging out, right? So it might be on Instagram, and we just did that episode about how to market and how to make a profit without social media. So it might be on Instagram, but let's say you're working with new moms, right? Like, you could go into Mommy and Me daycare spaces and ask to do free workshops around your local city. You could put pamphlets up at like gymnastics and after school spots, obviously with the permission of the people who own them. Like, you're going to want to really get specific about where your people are, what they're looking for, and then write some material that really highlights for them. And this is the part too, again, why I started implementing, I'm going to go through all of your copy and all of your strategy as a component of my one-on-one services, is because y'all think that you're being specific, but you are not. So if you do not have a coach who can go over what it is that you are saying, find somebody in your life who represents your ideal client and make sure that they understand what it is that you put in the marketing material. Were they able to clearly identify that it was for them? Were they able to really understand what it included? Did they feel incentivized to have a conversation with you by looking at what it is that you wrote? All of these things are really, really important, not just in a one-on-one offer, but in creating any kind of an offer. And then you can build the strategy around that clarity and that understanding of what it is that your people really, really need. The last thing that I wanted to talk about in today's episode was really giving you some of your own tips and tricks for understanding why and when it is helpful to invest in one-on-one coaching. I gave one of those reasons already. If you are selling one-on-one coaching and you have never had a one-on-one coach, you are selling something that you have not experienced. Please go experience it. You do not have to spend money that you do not have. But if you are charging $5,000 for one-on-one coaching and refuse to pay $5,000 for one-on-one coaching, what does that say about your beliefs about your clients and your beliefs about your own money mindset? So you want to think critically about that, right? Like if you would not pay someone what you are charging, there is some dissonance there that could probably be worked on. But you want to experience being a client. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to invest in the highest ticket coach out there. Personally, I wouldn't take somebody on as a one-on-one client who didn't have a clear idea of who the community was that they wanted to serve, because I think those people would be better served investing in Business Switch. It's a lower ticket price point, my signature offering. You can learn how to sell and identify who your ideal client is in there. Figure that out and then come hire me for one-on-one coaching and we'll get to work scaling your offers when you have a more specific idea of what it is that you even want to offer. But hire somebody else who is a great first one-on-one coach experience for you. And the other things that you're going to want to think about and the kinds of questions that you might want to ask are things like, what is the usual length of your client relationships? So most of my clients renew with me. And I think the reason that it's powerful to ask that is you get an idea of like, if you're looking for a long-term relationship with someone, am I signing up for something that could potentially be a long-term relationship with somebody? Does this person have a good record of client retention? Because if they say that, you know, they work with people over and over again, sometimes for years, that probably means that they deliver well on the promises that they make. You're also going to want to look at, are they under-promising and over-delivering, or are they over-promising and under-delivering? So if people are promising you something like 100K months in the next 3 months of your coaching with them, you're going to want to be like, okay, like what percentage of your clients have actually achieved this result? Is it just the people on the testimonials page, or is it a majority of your clients? As I think that that's where, you know, we get falsely marketed to, and that creates this sense in the industry where people feel really suspicious of hiring one-on-one practitioners. You're also going to want to ask, you know, what do you see as the potential for the results in this relationship if you were being transparent with me? Any good coach is not going to sell you a package unless they fundamentally believe that they can really help you and they'll be able to outline the ways in which they see that is possible. But for you, you also want to know what it is that you really want to get out of it. So make a list. I'm a big fan of finding by referral. That is always, always, always my preference. Whether that is just popping up in your stories, I'm looking for somebody who does X, do you have a great referral? Or actually asking your close network. Yes, people find me online all the time. I hope lots of people find you online in your future. But like maybe there's already an amazing person in your community that you could reach out to. I'm also a big fan of having a number of calls. You want to feel connected to this person. You're going to be engaging in a close, intimate relationship with them for probably a period of months. Talk to three people and see who you really, really resonate with. That's okay. I think that's important and a good business practice for all of us to be making these decisions based on a sense of really feeling seen and feeling connected to a person, and not just because they were the first person that we spoke to and we felt like they could get the job done, especially in such an intimate relationship like this. So I hope that for those of you listening to this, this gives you some ideas, some empowerment, some expansion, some food for thought, some frame of reference for how to really construct a one-on-one offer that will serve your clients, serve your business, and empower you to get in front of people. Because if you know that you can help somebody, if you know that your services can really help somebody, which again, if you don't, come get some mindset coaching from me, or expand your skill set so that you feel really confident that your services are valuable and they do help people, it makes them a lot easier to sell. I just want to briefly drop here a little like foreshadowing to something that is coming likely in April of 2024, for those of you listening to this in the distant future. I'm going to be launching like mini series. I'm calling it an incubator, and it's going to be about ethical selling. And I'm going to walk you through my entire sales process from the inception of an idea to the execution of building the systems for that idea to funneling people through that offer. So you're going to want to be subscribed to my email list at karakovacs.com to be the first to know about when that drops. I'm really excited about it because the goal is to teach people how to sell in a way that puts your nervous system at ease so that you're excited about selling and you feel very value aligned about the ways in which you market and sell your services. So that could be a great addition to listening to this podcast episode, and you're going to want to stay tuned to find out about that as soon as it drops. Next week is our last podcast episode in this solo masterclass episode series, and it's going to be all about money mindset. I'm so excited to chat about that with you. So make sure that you're subscribed. And if you have any questions about the stuff that we talked about today, slide into my DMs because I want to see you all sell your services powerfully. See you next week on Business Witch.